We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, Tuesday. So, you know, we'll say it again. Weekend is almost here. Well, at least you try to look at it that way anyway. All right, we've got the results of our Tuesday song text off. If you're just tuning in, every Tuesday about 2:50, I do the Tuesday song text off. And I play an original, and then I play a cover. And you decide which you like better, the cover or the original. The cover is song B, the original is song A. So here is song B, and this was a song that was recorded in 1993 for the movie Cool Runnings, one of my favorite movies about sports and about endurance and about believing in yourself. This is the song I Can See Clearly Now, and this is the version done by Jimmy Cliff, the reggae artist. It was a big reggae hit, and it was part of the movie Cool Runnings. It was really, really close. Sometimes it's a blowout. Usually it is the original that wins, but not always. In this case, though, it was the original that won. And this is the original version of I Can See Clearly Now. This was song A, done in 1971 by Johnny Nash, and I remember playing this as a young DJ. So thank you for participating in that. We'll have another Tuesday song text off next Tuesday afternoon. You know, I was talking last hour. I just, you know, part of our pop culture calendar is part of the show, and part of our pop culture calendar today was on this day, April 23rd, 1975. Peter Hamm of Badfinger, the band Badfinger, hanged himself. And he was apparently depressed about the band's financial problems. A guy called earlier, and he says that he knows a lot about them and followed them, said he was also having problems with a girl. And what I find really fascinating is that Peter Hamm committed suicide at the age of 27. And think of all the artists that died at 27. Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, Jim Morrison, all 27. Kurt Cobain, 27. Brian Jones, the Rolling Stones, 27. Amy Winehouse was 27, and there are a few others. And I guess that kind of leads into the topic this hour. I thought it was interesting that Eminem, the rapper, on Saturday celebrated his 11th year of sobriety. And this is really about the victory of conquering something. And I know so many of you who listen to this show have conquered drug and alcohol issues. It's not easy. And it's great if you manage to do that. I was reading an article about Eminem, and he shared a sobriety coin with everybody on his Instagram account. And it was kind of like, it was similar to like an Alcoholics Anonymous, an AA kind of thing. And actually, in fact, yes, it is. It looks just like it. And it is. In fact, it's a coin that is rewarded to AA members and 12-step program users. And it's seen as a key to their recovery. And he posted the caption, 11 years and still not afraid. And that was a reference to one of his songs where he talks about losing the battle with prescription drugs. I was shocked. Eminem went through a four-year stretch of writer's block because of drugs. He says during the peak time of his addiction, listen to this. My God, I mean, if you've ever taken pills, I mean, even if you have a problem, it's going to seem like you don't have a problem compared to Eminem. I mean, this is really almost unbelievable. But Eminem said that he was taking up to 60 Valium and 30 Vicodin a day. Oh, my God. I mean, how did the guy even live? 60 Valium? I mean, I'd be asleep for a half a year. And 30 Vicodin. I mean, I remember when Brett Favre was talking about his addiction to Vicodin. And Brett Favre was taking like 13 a day. I mean, I can't imagine 30 pills. I mean, again, this guy's really lucky to be alive. In fact, Eminem says that doctors told him that what he did in one day was the equivalent of four bags of heroin. And that he was maybe 2 hours away from dying. Eminem admits that he talked to Elton John, who helped him overcome his addictions. And that's kind of a strange matchup, Eminem and Elton John. But, you know, their music might be totally different. Their outlook on life may be totally different. But the one thing they had in common was addiction. And addiction brings a lot of different people with different interests together over this common bond. And so what I thought we would talk about this hour is if you know a celebrity, if you've heard a story of a celebrity and you're glad they're clean now and they quit doing drugs, let's talk about that. I can tell you about many situations backstage with bands, and in the 80s in particular, 70s and 80s, and there were drugs everywhere. If I go backstage today, I don't see anything. I'm not saying that some aren't doing it, but it's not as wide open as it was. And I don't even think it's as prevalent as it was. I mean, I've told the story about being backstage at the Stones concert in the Superdome. And this was mid-80s. And I'm not proud of this, but it was a Friday night, I think. And I had just bought a gram of cocaine for the weekend. And Wolfman Jack, this crazy popular disc jockey, was the MC of the show. And I knew Wolfman Jack liked coke. So I walked up to him backstage and I said, "Hey, Wolfman, you want some coke?" And so I handed him the vial and the spoon. He took the whole thing and walked away. I mean, seriously, wait a minute. That was for the weekend. So again, I'm not proud of that, but that's a true story. There was one band, and I'm not going to name the band, but they had cocaine in a mayonnaise jar. That's how much coke they had backstage. And there was pot. There's a lot of that stuff. And now, you know, I guess it's not just pot, it's not just cocaine, but it's pills. And a lot of people are addicted to it. And you know what a crisis, the opioid crisis, has become. I mean, we hear about this being part of, like, political campaigns now. And it is a huge problem. But I'd like to talk to you. If you beat drugs, if you beat alcohol. And I want to kind of balance things out a little bit, because I admit on this show, you know, we talk about drinking in the quarter. We talk about going, and I'm not much of a drinker. I drink a couple of glasses of wine a night when I drink. And that might be like once every week, maybe two, maybe once a week, I'll have a couple of glasses of wine. That's it. So I'm not a big drinker. But sometimes I make it seem like drinking is part of having fun. And that should never be the case. I want to know from you, and you may be an inspiration to somebody else. I want to know if you quit drinking, if you quit drugs, pills, whatever, if you stopped, and I want to know if you're still enjoying life. Is life still fun? Did you have more fun when you were drinking and doing pills, or are you having more fun now? And there might be somebody listening who's on the edge. They know they've got a problem. And they haven't done anything about it yet because they're afraid of what's on the other side. They're afraid of giving up this. It's a bad friend, but they're afraid of giving up their friend. And their friend that's always there with them is the bottle or the pills or the coke or whatever. You hate that friend, but that friend's always there with you. And so some people are afraid. So I'd like to know how your life is after. And here's our number, 260 1-870, area code 504-260-1870, and our text is 870-870. Here's a text that says, "Scoot, I have been clean from opioids since December 30th, 2018, and I am absolutely loving life now. It was a struggle, but totally worth it. I was addicted for 17 years. Here's another text that says, "I've been sober for 2 years now, Scoot. I love life more now than ever. It's like waking up from a bad dream. Believe it or not, I credit some of my sobriety to you. If you have time to hear the story, let me know. Love the show." Listen, if you want to call the show, I would love to talk to you. And tell Tim Zimmer, our studio producer, that you're the guy that has the story. I don't know how I was an influence But if I was, I'm grateful. Eminem celebrated 11 years of sobriety this past Saturday. A lot of people have quit. And they're alive today because they quit. And when you think about what Eminem was doing, the number of pills he was taking per day, the only reason he's alive is because he quit. And you hear about Steven Tyler, you hear about the Stones, you hear about all these people that have totally changed their drinking and drug habits. And that's why they're still alive today. If you've got a comment, our number is 260-1870. Area code 504-260-1870. And our text is 870-870. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. Eminem celebrating 11 years of sobriety. He was addicted to pills, taking up to 60 Valium and 30 Vicodin a day. That just seems medically impossible, but that's what I'm reading in this article. He consulted with Elton John. He's clean. He's sober. And so are a lot of people who kind of glamorized drug use in the entertainment world. They're clean and sober now. And maybe their sobriety doesn't get as much attention as it should, because they get the image of being the bad boy, of drinking and doing drugs, and that's, you know, appealing in the fact that it's rebellious, and a lot of young people think that's the cool thing. Well, adults as well think that's the cool way to be, the cool thing to do. And so maybe their life after they are sober and clean, maybe their life after that doesn't get as much attention as it should. Here's a text that says, why do we applaud these people? They're weak losers. Well, I think that's a really ignorant way to express an opinion. And I guarantee you that this person has problems. And there's something in this person's life that would cause you and me to say, you're a loser. But that's a typical attitude that some people have. I mean, you see, people like that, ignore them. Don't even allow them to exist. Here is a text that says, Scoot, interesting, what's the significance of artists dying at 27? I don't know. I'm going to do a little research on that, and maybe we'll talk about that tomorrow afternoon. But so many artists died at the age of 27 after committing suicide. In fact, there's a I think it's called Club 27 or the 27 Club, and it's because so many people died, took their own lives at the age of 27. From New Orleans, Anna, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am good. So I'm shocked at the last reply that you got. I was just thinking that when people that kids look up to and admire for their talent and success they've had, it's very encouraging when they come forth and say what success they've had.
Yeah.
With mistakes they've made in the past. So I was just looking at that. I was thinking several people who have stated, you know, several celebrities that have stated that they no longer drink. That helps me definitely. And yeah. I can say that my life is 100% turned around and so much better.
You know, and Anna, in some cases, or actually in many cases, people do drugs and drink to the degree that they do that. Because a celebrity did it, or because they modeled it, they wanted their life to be kind of like the celebrity. And that's why I really think that for people who are famous and are clean, you know, maybe their lives should get more publicity, which is one of the reasons why I wanted to talk about Eminem after 11 years of sobriety. I had no idea. I really didn't know that much about him personally, but that's an accomplishment.
Oh, absolutely. And I applaud him for you know, just putting that out there. I think it would help a lot of young people if they're.
What's the biggest thing that you notice about life now from before?
My logic is so much more clear. I found for me that the logic of an alcoholic is very distorted, and so I walk through life very conscientious now. Decisions I make them based on fact, not emotion, and I have a lot more confidence in the decisions I make because I know I'm making those decisions with a clear head.
Yeah. And can you think back on decisions that you made that really weren't the best decisions?
Oh, absolutely. Just irrational and yeah. Self-centered.
Anna, I appreciate you sharing that with us.
Well, thank you. Right. I hope you do more shows like this. Yeah. I think it's very encouraging.
Good luck. Yeah, I mean, look, if you don't have a drinking problem or a problem with pills, if you enjoy marijuana or alcohol recreationally and socially, and you don't have a problem, well, that's fine. But man, there are people who have a problem, and I really admire those people who have conquered that issue. And why not focus on their lives, too? If you're on hold, hang on. I'm Scoot. We're coming right back. We're talking about Eminem this past Saturday, celebrating 11 years of sobriety. We're talking about quitting drinking and doing drugs. Have you found that ordinary world, and is life better? And you know, so many people get positive publicity when they're, you know, they're partying and they're drinking and they're doing drugs and, you know, their life seems exciting. And yet there are so many people today that are the performers and the many of them rock artists that we love and admire, like Steven Tyler, for example, of Aerosmith. As far as I know, these guys are clean. And a lot of stars that were addicts are clean today. Keith Richards of the Rolling Stones, I mean, admits he was a heroin addict. I mean, there were so many people that beat that. And Eminem was just doing an unbelievable amount of prescription drugs. And I've got a text here that says, been there, Scoot, sometimes 40 pills a day, pain pills a day. 40 a day. Depends on how plentiful they were at the time. Drug-free now, baby. See, that's great. And you know, people like Eminem, they should get publicity too. Now that they're, you know, doing drugs and being that way, that's not the only glamorous way to be. And I want to just give you a chance to talk about how you feel now that that you're clean and sober. Here's a text that says 5 years sober since on March 16th, 2019. So that was a recent anniversary for you. Congratulations. Here's a text that says, Peter DeFrentis, the original drummer of my most beloved band, Echo and the Bunnymen, died in 1989 in a motorcycle accident at the age of 27. You know what's amazing to me? Somebody's listening to this show, talk radio, and his most beloved band is Echo and the Bunnymen. I mean, that says a lot about our diversity. From Bay St. Louis, Brian, you're on WWL.
Hey, how you doing, Scoot?
Good.
I mean, I'd like to thank you first off on, you know, bringing up this subject, because this really is a subject that needs to be, you know, on the radio more often than it isn't. But, you know, I just celebrated my first year of sobriety on April 7th from a 30-year, you know, addiction career. And, you know, as far as being happier than I was before I was drinking, I wouldn't say I'm there yet. You know, I guess it affects people a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. You know, they, you know, with some people, it, you know, could take a year, 2 years, 3 years. I mean, I'm not at that point yet, because my whole life revolved around drinking for the past 30 years. You know, trips, family functions, you name it. It revolved around drinking. So you're changing your whole life around from, you know, how you've been thinking for 30 years. You know?
Yeah, and again, you hate the alcohol, but or the drugs or whatever, you hate it, but that was your friend. That was that friend that was always with you.
Exactly. You know, and until I found out, I was, they say this doesn't exist, but, you know, I was a functioning alcoholic. You know, they claim there's no such thing as a functioning alcoholic.
No, I agree with you, there is.
I held a job, I raised my family. You know, it got to the point in my life, you know, and towards the end when I hit my rock bottom is when, you know, I realized my life was unmanageable. And I'm not the type of person that would have went into an AA meeting and, you know, thought I would ever do that. But, you know, I took a shot at it, and I went to my first AA meeting just thinking I was going to go in and just walk out and never go back. And, you know, I went in there, and once I started, you know, hearing other people's stories, I was like, man, you know, these people are really, you know, they could be talking about my life. Yeah. That's exactly how I was.
Well,
it
makes you feel good that you're not alone. And I think it's just really interesting that Eminem, the rapper, consulted with Elton John over his addiction. I mean, musically, they're so far apart, but yet their addiction brought them together. They had that in common.
Exactly. And I mean, it's worse for them because it's, you know, it's so much more readily available in their own lifestyle. Yeah. And, you know, they, that's why a lot of those, you know, musicians lose their lives, because it's, you know, it's, they got the money. It's, you know, they're just constantly around it. And, you know, it's tenfold from what a normal person would be able to get their hands on it.
Brian, I appreciate the call, and I appreciate you sharing that story with us.
And I really appreciate you bringing up this topic. Thank you.
Glad you're feeling good. You know, I'm gonna assume that this next text that I'm about to read is a reflection of the sense of humor of our audience. It says nobody likes a quitter. From Raceland, Bobby, you're on WWL.
Hey, Scoo, how are you doing this afternoon?
I'm good.
Okay, look, I was gonna talk to you about the mayor and who's gonna be responsible when somebody hits somebody doing 24 in a 20-mile-an-hour zone. It's about our kids. Yeah. But anyway, I want to talk to you about a tragic thing concerning drugs.
Okay.
I was 25 years old, and I was working overseas out of Jakarta, Indonesia. And I was a superintendent on deck, and I had one guy that worked for me. I used to do suitcase checks, and I'd find some with, you know, marijuana. And in those days, I terminated him. This guy could never catch him. I knew he was on it, but I could never catch him. So this guy was going home to Arizona to get married. He was 23 years old. And I told him, I said, "Bud, please, man, go home safely. Stay off the smokes." And he said, "Oh, come on, Captain Bobby, I don't do that." I said, "Okay." The most tragic thing that happened to me, the next morning, I got a radio call from Jakarta, from our base. That young man went to a hotel, and you could buy anything in Jakarta. And he died from an overdose of heroin. Hmm. How tragic.
I know, they are really...
You know, Scoot, my kids still ask me, "Dad, you mean you never tried anything?" I said, "No." And I didn't, because I'd have to face up to my parents, who always taught me to be responsible.
Yeah.
And even when I was there, Scoot, I could have got anything I wanted. But then I had to face my children and my wife. I have never in my lifetime, they don't believe that, but I'm telling you the truth, and I hope you believe it, never had it in my life. What an embarrassment. It's a sense of responsibility, Scoot.
No, it is.
And I just want to tell you that when you brought up Eminem, I thank God that boy is fine now. I don't care for his music, but I tell you, what an accomplishment.
Bobby, I appreciate the call. And yeah, especially for people in that industry, because yes, it is all around. Remember the band, the New York Dolls? I mean, oh my God, they were just like bizarre. Wasn't Buster Poindexter part of the New York Dolls? On this day, in 1991, guitarist Johnny Thunders of the New York Dolls died of a drug overdose right here in New Orleans. He was 40 years old. If you want to join us with a comment, our number is 260-1870, and our text is 870-870. I'm Scoot in the afternoon, and we'll be right back on WWL. I'm Scoot. Glad you're with us on this Tuesday afternoon. We're talking about Eminem being clean and sober from pain medication and Valium for the last 11 years. It's something to celebrate. Here's a text that says, "Life is better than ever now. My wife busted my butt trying to get me clean. She's my rock." And you know, I have alcoholism in my family, and I'm grateful that the few people that were involved there are better now. Here is a text that says, "I went from dope to Suboxone, and my life is so much better now. To me, that's being clean." Here is a text that says, "I've been sober all my life. Maybe I should start and quit so somebody will compliment me. My strength has never been recognized." That's a really good point. Let's also recognize those people that never had a problem. And there are some people that they drank too much. And there were times in my life when I drank too much. And I've been honest with you about my drug use in the past. I did cocaine, and I smoked pot. Don't anymore. Don't have a desire to. I wasn't addicted, but I did it more than I should. From the West Bank, Bobby, you're on WWL.
Hey, Scoot. Great show. How you doing?
I'm good.
Just a quick story. A friend of mine used to do the light board and light show for STP, Stone Temple Pilots.
Uh-huh.
And one of their last concerts when Scott Weiland was with them was in Baltimore, and it was at night outdoors. And the only way the band would get paid from the producer, the people doing, the company doing, the putting on the concert, was that Scott Weiland could not, after the concert was over, could not stay with the band behind the stage. And my friend went back there with the other members, the three other members. They had to wheel Scott Weiland off in the bus right after the last song. He couldn't stay around for the post-race, post-concert festivities. So, and unfortunately, I guess he never learned because he was with us, Velvet Revolver. Then he started his own band, and it was supposed to come here at Southport Hall. And about a week before that is when they found him dead in the bus.
I remember that. Yeah, the Scott Weiland story with Stone Temple Pilots is indeed a sad one. Here's a text. Scoot, I wouldn't trade the last 32 years for anything in the world, and I'm not sure what that means. Here's a text. Where do you get 60 Valium a day from? Well, you know, look, again, if you're a celebrity, that stuff comes to you. Hey, don't forget, it's a great time of year for the Houdat Nation. Thursday kicks off Saints NFL Draft. Thursday, Saints Draft Preview, Zach Strieff, Deuce McAllister. And then, don't miss radio, 6 o'clock, Bobby Hebert, Mike Dettillier, Christian Garrick, joined by Zach Strieff. And then Friday, Desi Vega's Seafood and Prime Steaks in Metairie in the Heritage Plaza for Draft Fest Friday. And then Draft Fest Saturday, Walk-On's Bistro and Bar in Covington from 9 Saturday morning until 6 Saturday evening. Hope you'll join us. Here was a song from the 60s all about heroin. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. You know, tomorrow afternoon, I'm going to look into this between now and tomorrow afternoon. Maybe we'll talk about why so many celebrities died at the age of 27 and what are the theories behind all of that. Here's a text that says, Scoot, Coke and cocktails, so glad those days are over. Yeah, I mean, I could tell you about the many nights of just trying to go to sleep, and you couldn't. So, I mean, I'm glad that is over for my past. Sports Talk with Bobby Hebert, Deuce McAllister, Christian Garrick coming up next. Draft is getting close. I want to thank our program director, Diane Newman, our show producer, Todd Manessis, and our studio producer, Tim Zimmer. And thank you for being part of our show. Don't forget to join me on Facebook. It's SOTA Scoot on the Air. I'm Scoot. Have a great afternoon. Love you, New Orleans.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.